Now, earlier this week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced plans to block diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, as well as critical race theory at Florida state colleges.
We are also going to eliminate all DEI and CRT bureaucracies in the state of Florida. No funding, and that will wither on the vine. And I think that that's very important because it really serves as an ideological filter, a political filter.
That follows Governor DeSantis' announcement that the state will prohibit public schools from participating in a pilot program for a new advanced placement course on African American studies. Yesterday, the College Board, which created that AP course, released its official curriculum. It no longer includes some of the material that the Florida government had opposed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you looked into this AP class on African American studies? What do you think about the material there? What questions do you have about what is and isn't there? Do you want to see schools participate in it? How about diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at schools and colleges? Have you encountered one? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Smith is the Harry G. John Professor of History and Director of the Center for Urban Research, Teaching and Outreach at Marquette University. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be back. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Now, last time we talked, we looked at this African-American Studies AP program that it rolled out. Can you remind us, big picture, what kind of things are included there?
Well, you know, it's classic college-level material. It takes students through early African history, West Africa as a significant focus in that process, move students into the era of enslavement and resistance, and then brings students into conversations about Black freedom struggles, struggles for racial equality, the movements that were central to those conversations. It gets us into the experiences of artists and activists in all kinds of ways. So it's classic college level material.
And how this is an advanced placement class is something not everybody's going to take. What kind of level of engagement with these ideas would we expect in an AP class? The idea is, right? It's like you're in a college class.
Absolutely. And I think first and foremost, it's document based. So it's encouraging students to not only develop skills, but to develop their critical thinking and to think about ways to inject other narratives, other ideas, important concepts into that historical discourse that oftentimes is left out.
So now we have the decision from the Florida government and Governor DeSantis saying, nope, not in our schools here. I want to give a listen to some of what he had to say in announcing that.
Sure. Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda on our kids. And so when you look to see they have stuff about intersectionality, abolishing prisons, that's a political agenda.
Now, the College Board has announced some changes that they say have been in the works for a while based on their early pilots. Some of the stuff that the Florida governor is pointing to as controversial have to do with modern day issues and theory. What do you think about the objections there?
Well, you know, it's interesting that the argument to exclude these components are based on notions of political agendas when this is clearly a political agenda of extreme proportions. And so that in so many ways, this is reflective of why it's important for students, particularly college level students, college level thinkers, to engage ideas such as this so that we can see how history echoes. And so that young people can understand that when we think about issues associated with inequality, there are historical trajectories that get replayed over and over.
Are you surprised that there have been objections to the AP course? It seems like any mention of race and education, somebody's going to bring this up as an issue.
You know, I'm not surprised about it at all. However, what is surprising is that the arguments and the ideas actually inform why it's important for us to investigate these very issues. You know, the question around intersectionality, abolishing prisons, these are very important conversations because they are very relevant today. It speaks to issues of identity, that we are more complicated individuals and therefore history needs to be more complicated. in order to inject more of those narratives and more of those voices into the historical discourse. You know, if we talk, you mentioned abolishing prisons, we know that this has become a human rights issue of significant proportions. And so the idea that studying these kinds of ideas and studying these concepts is somehow connected to a political agenda is in many ways not only wrong and false, it's absurd, because we have to have young people engaged in the questions of the day so that the past makes more sense.
The concern, I think, from the Florida governor and others is that, okay, abolishing prisons, this is going to end up being indoctrination in a way. How would you handle that concept or suggest educators handle dealing with those concepts in a way that doesn't, you know, I guess, try to indoctrinate or make the case for something, but have people engage with the ideas, even if they ultimately agree or disagree with them?
Well, if we start at the notion that it's indoctrination, that sets a very false set of ideas that then teachers have to respond to. Indoctrination is an inaccurate way of thinking about what educators do in the classroom. Educators are providing the environment for young brains to develop and think critically. And so we are called upon in the classroom to raise topics that are difficult, raise topics that are complicated, but most importantly, give students the skills and the resources to think through these questions effectively.
Talking to Rob Smith from Marquette University, professor of history there and director of the Center for Urban Research, Teaching, and Outreach, looking at race and education in schools and colleges and the politics surrounding those issues after an AP class and test on African-American studies blocked, at least for now, in Florida public schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have these or related issues come up in your community, your local school district, whether you're a community member, student, teacher, parent, or staff? Love to hear from you, your perspective. Did the politics get heated? Were you able to talk about these things in a civil way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org with your thoughts or your questions. Now, turning to another part of our conversation here, Rob, critical race theory and diversity, equity, and inclusion. Governor DeSantis, again, this is in Florida, says he's banning those from public colleges, cutting the bureaucracy related to those. Let's untangle those, first of all. Diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, they can mean different things in different places. What do they usually look like in higher education, though?
Well, in higher education, there are any number of onboarding, HR-related sessions where you learn appropriate workplace behavior, you understand and learn the values that an institution carries and what your responsibilities are as an employee in that institution. Many institutions have expressed commitments to DEI related values and practices, and so employees have to learn what is expected of them in the workplace and how to create a more inclusive workplace. This is hardly a political agenda. It's about making your workplace healthier for everyone who's a part of it.
So what do you think of, this backlash against DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at schools?
Well, the backlash is the political agenda, to be perfectly honest. The backlash is indeed attacking a set of mechanisms that are intended to make workplaces, workplace environments, we could even extend it more broadly to, you know, society, to make our society healthier, make our society more welcoming, make sure that folks find themselves and see themselves as valued members of institutions and communities. You know, if we're not approaching with serious rigor and commitment these fundamental notions of inclusions, then we are allowing for these institutions and these workplaces to remain hostile and to be, hostile to folks who oftentimes are marginalized in all kinds of ways that we don't always know and we don't always understand. And so we have to continue to learn and educate those who we work with, learn and educate for ourselves so that we can be better about, you know, the jobs that we do, and then also to live and breathe those values appropriately and honestly.
Rob Smith is with us, professor of history and director of the Center for Urban Research, Teaching and Outreach at Marquette University. We're looking at issues of race and education, including an advanced placement class at African American Studies, currently blocked in at least one state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you support the Florida governor blocking this African American Studies AP class, at least in Florida public schools? Do you want to know more about this program? Did you take a class at some point in your life that you thought really did inform you a lot about issues of race and its history here in the United States? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Rob Smith, history professor, director of the Center for Urban Research, Teaching and Outreach at Marquette University, looking at recent decisions by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to ban a new pilot AP course on African-American studies in public high schools there and to block diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at state colleges. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on this. If you've seen similar debates, maybe in your own community, your own school district, what's going on there? If you teach, do you feel like your shoulder is being looked over a little bit on these issues? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Celia is with us in Madison. Celia, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, first of all, I took an African-American studies course at the students' urgings, and I think it was probably 1968 at the UW here in Madison, and it was very good. But I'm a Civil War historian, and this is about power. It's about economic power of white aristocrats who were mainly brought to Virginia by the royal governor during the English Civil Wars. And they always owned the most slaves. At the same time, New England, and mostly New England, had a law case in which John Hancock and the boys sued a Phyllis Wheatley, a slave, for coming out with a book of poetry, which they said was a fraud. But she won the case. She opened the door for emancipation before the revolution in all of New England. 10 to 15% of the Revolutionary Army were blacks. By 1846, there were anti-slavery societies in Illinois, thanks to the railroad and white financing of anti-slavery movements by the Tappan brothers all over the United States.
Celia, thanks for calling in. Rob, Celia, trying to hit some, I think, often unremembered pieces of history there.
Yeah, you know, that was a very useful example because it emphasizes the value of the AP course. So what we just heard included commentary about this nation's legal history, the nation's stain of slavery, the importance of the voice of a Black woman who's one of the most brilliant poets in American history. It also engages the question of some of our noted so-called founding fathers. All of this is wrapped into a conversation about an Afro-American studies course. So anyone who thinks that this type of study is not fully inclusive or is running a political agenda need only take listen to this last commentary. Look at what we're able to unbraid just from this one anecdote. And that is exactly why this course is valuable, because it allows us to peer into history, take what we've learned, add more of what we're learning about history, because the more we learn about history, the more history changes, and then also make some assessments and connections to today. That's a perfect example of why our young people need to hear these kinds of stories, read these kinds of documents, explore this kind of history and this kind of literature in an interdisciplinary fashion, and come to some understanding of this nation's history. Thank you very much for that anecdote.
Thanks for calling in. Heidi joins us next in Martin. Heidi, hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I want to bring up that I think the governor needs to take these courses, and maybe many of our politicians should be required to take these courses before they take office so that they aren't leading our nation with ignorance. I'm a Milwaukee public school teacher, and to hear comments like that is just, it's ignorant. And that's the problem in our country. We don't have acceptance, and we have so much ignorance. And when you lead with ignorance, you get what we're getting.
Heidi, thanks for the call, Rob.
Can I share an anecdote?
Sure.
Before we get too far? You know, I had the opportunity, and I want to send props to all the school teachers. Thank you so very much for the work you do with our children. And you're so valued and so important. I had the opportunity to work with a fourth grade class. And my goal that day, I said I was going to come in and the fourth graders could ask me any question about history. This fourth grader, I won't say her full name. Her last name was Robinson, Miss Robinson. She said, "Dr. Rob, this was the first question I received." She said, "Dr. Rob," I said, "Yes, Miss Robinson." She said, "I have two comments and a question." I said, "Okay." She said, "My first question is the flag stands for freedom, justice, and liberty, right? Emphasis on the right." I said, "Of course, Miss Robinson." She said, "Dr. Rob, now we had slavery at the same time we had the flag, right?" I said, "Okay." And she said, "My question is, how could we possibly have the flag at the same time that we have slavery?" This from a fourth grader. And I share that anecdote because it's teachers who are called upon to answer those questions for those young minds, or at least to give them the tools to ask the right questions so that they can get to the right answers. And that fourth grader, those comments and those questions sit at the nexus of this nation's challenges and problems with racism. And that fourth grader understood that. And that fourth grader deserved to have a classroom where she could explore the questions that were gnawing at her. We owe that to our children, and we owe it to our teachers to give them the room to do their jobs. That's my anecdote. That's my story.
Thanks for that call. Will joins us now in Oconomowoc. Will, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Will?
I just want to point out that I think Dr. Smith is being dishonest when he's claiming that only the right-wing attacks on education recently are politically motivated, because the DEI initiatives and things like the 1619 Project have only really cropped up since the massive George Floyd protests in 2020 and, you know, like over the larger movement in the 10s. And they are a political movement. All of that inclusion in our education system is political. And so to claim that what the right is doing is the only political thing that is happening, I think it's manufacturing consent and just being dishonest and fooling people.
Well, thanks for the call. A political agenda, whether you like the politics of it or not, Rob, in diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
The notion that creating a more equitable workplace is a political agenda is false. I'm not being disingenuous or advancing a political agenda for wanting to make sure that the folks I work with are working in a place that is healthy and welcoming to who they are as individuals, no matter what their identities are. That is about making sure we live up to the creed of our nation and the creed and vision and mission of so many of our institutions. The institutions that are approaching these DEI initiatives are doing this on their own accord. In some cases, there might be requirements here or there, but these are institutions that are working toward a particular outcome that they think is best for the institution so that their employees can work in a healthy environment. That's for everyone involved. That does not exclude anyone. We're simply a part of a moment where more and more people are demanding that we have a more inclusive set of institutions. To resist that through the policymaking process is where the political agenda comes in my estimations.
Well, thanks for the call. Rob, I want to bring things back around now to the AP class. Are these things evolve over time based on early piloting? There have been some changes. What kind of things are you watching for next as it continues to be rolled out and tested and expanded into more schools?
Well, again, this is continually being revised. The course is being constructed by educators of multiple levels, of multiple experiences. So we do have to wait to see what the final course will look like. Obviously, there are going to be revisions for all kinds of reasons, but the pressure to alter this curriculum in any kind of way from policymakers denies teachers the full breadth of their experiences to make sure that the course functions the way it's supposed to for the students who they know better than anyone else, the students who they know fully what they're capable of. Politicians don't know that. Only teachers and educators know that. That's just the truth.
In just our last minute or so, are you concerned that more states might move to block this AP class?
You know, we have to always be concerned when we get into this question of restricting ideas and silencing ideas. That is dangerous. It's hostile. And unfortunately, we have a history of that happening not only here in this country, but in other countries. So we do have to be concerned about that. The extent to which states of any significant number approach this, we'll have to see. We have to be concerned about it because we know that that is indeed a possibility.
Rob, we'll leave it there. We're all out of time. Thanks again for joining us today, Rob.
Thank you.
That's Robert Smith, professor of history and director of the Center for Urban Research, Teaching and Outreach at Marquette University. He joined us today to look at Florida's ban on a pilot advanced placement African-American studies course and the Florida governor's plan to block diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at Florida state colleges.